Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. If you're 21 or older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online. They ship directly to most states, or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative, bold flavor, full pouches. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newharth, and today we're joined by Steve Ranella, Ryan Callahan, Brody Henderson, Seth Morris, Chester Floyd, Corinne Schneider, and Dr. Jonathan Reisman. Now, John, this is your first time playing trivia. How do you feel about your chances?
So-so.
Okay. Are you familiar with the show? Do you listen?
Yes.
And how do you normally perform?
Depends on the topic, but so-so.
Okay. What would be, of the four categories, like, what would be a strong category and a weak one, you think?
Can you remind me of the four categories?
Hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking.
He's going to dominate cooking.
Okay.
Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, hunting, conservation, and cooking. The only so-so.
Now, before we play, we need you to weigh in on Seth having mercury poison. Seth, give him some details about what you were eating and what you were feeling.
Oh, let's say in, I'd say 2 weeks' time. I should say in a month's time, over 50% of my meals were fish.
Big plan.
Like cobia and like stuff like that. I was having some like fish from local reservoirs here too, but yeah, big pelagic stuff. And at a certain point, like my hands started going numb, and I was having like real fuzzy like memory loss stuff. Those were like only the two symptoms that I could nail down. But
and then you stopped eating the fish.
And I stopped eating the fish, and everything went away.
Like how quickly did it go away?
I would say a weekish.
And your wife had some symptoms as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned it to my wife the one night. I was like, man, my hands are like getting numb lately. And she's like, mine have too. That's really weird.
And she was eating a similar amount.
Yeah, we were eating the same stuff. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, sounds convincing. So, like, neurologic symptoms are a very common side effect of mercury poisoning. I guess you didn't go psychotic, but just some,
no,
some
no,
faint memory loss.
That yeah. One day, though, I thought maybe.
I remember I called my friend to ask him a question, and he didn't answer, and he called me back like 2 minutes later and was like, what'd you call me for? And I was like, dude, I have absolutely no clue why I called you. I remember calling him, but had no clue why.
That doesn't normally happen?
No, that does not normally happen.
But does Seth still have mercury in his system because it builds up?
Well,
does he weigh a little bit more than he did?
Probably it's mostly cleansed from your system, even if there's a little bit left over.
How long does it take?
To be honest, I don't know a whole lot about mercury poisoning. I've seen a grand total of zero cases in my medical career.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going off what I learned in medical school 8-9 years ago.
We need Seth to donate his body to science, and then we'll get some answers.
Yeah, we should. I mean, it would be interesting to get a hair sample or something else that might show. I don't know if a blood test would show at this point, maybe when you're having symptoms, but
yeah,
just for curiosity's sake.
Come over here, we'll pluck one of those mustache hairs off.
They fall out all the time, so you can... Look, there's one right there.
Now, each week here on Meat Eater Trivia, we reveal a new stat. This week, we're looking at the performance of Meat Eater BFFs, Seth and Chester. We'll go category by category here. So when it comes to hunting, who do you think gets more right between you two?
Oh, I don't know. Chester?
In the hunting category, Chester gets 60% of questions right, while Seth gets 45%.
Whew.
We'll go to conservation. Who do you think does better in conservation?
Chester.
Seth.
Seth.
This is just going to be a total nice off between these two.
Oh gosh.
It's got to be.
Couldn't be me.
Seth gets 39% of conservation questions right, while Chester gets 21%.
Ooh.
How about with cooking? Who gets more cooking questions right?
Oh, I know that's Chester. I think.
Chester,
I feel like I do terrible with cooking.
I don't know.
Chester gets 44% of cooking questions right, while Seth is at 37%. Now, here is the big one
for
you two. Between the two fishing buddies, who is better at fishing trivia?
This is Seth. The one that will make us fight.
You think Seth? What do you think?
I'm going to hope Seth.
Chester gets 54% of fishing questions right, while Seth gets 38%.
What?
Blowing him out of the water.
He's going to be a new captain in that walleye boat this year.
Why does Seth have a win on the board and Chester doesn't have a win on the board?
Yeah,
he does. What
Chester
am I saying?
Does have there a win. Now, for your overall performances in Meat Eater Trivia, it's very tight. On average, Chester gets 43% of questions correct, while Seth gets 40% of questions correct. So Seth is just 3 percentage points behind Chester, which can all change from one good game by Seth or one bad game by Chester. Very tight.
Better step it up here.
What if Chet and I just become enemies now? Are you going to feel bad that you did that?
A little bit.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. Now, we have some housekeeping to get to before we play trivia. Steve and I have been squabbling about the definition of squab for a few months now. Steve believes that the term squab is specific to rock doves, which are more commonly known as street pigeons. And when I asked this question on a game of trivia, Steve argued that the players who said a squab is a pigeon rather than a street pigeon shouldn't get the answer correct. Well, now we can settle this debate. Zach Carson wrote in to say that in the book, Hope is a Thing with Feathers, which details the extinction of 6 North American birds, that the word squab is used to describe juvenile passenger pigeons. The book goes into detail about how Native Americans ate a lot of passenger pigeon squabs and made butter with their fat. I've also located other sources like Stanford University and the Audubon Society that reference baby passenger pigeons, baby scaled pigeons, and baby band-tailed pigeons as squabs. So the term squab can be used to describe any type of juvenile pigeon, not just street pigeons.
Whatever.
That's your rebuttal? It's better than I hoped for. That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Shelby index for this round of trivia is a 4.
I mean, I could be like, oh, I was wrong, but like, okay.
All right. The Shelby index.
Why belabor the point?
That's right.
I was rrr.
The Shelby index for this round of trivia is a 4, so our winner should get about 8 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Hold on one sec, Phil.
What's up? Here it is. This is what I was waiting for.
Are you sure that that was my point?
Okay, yes, because we argued about it during the question, and then a future episode, I gave you your own book and had you read a passage from it.
I know, and my passage backed up my...
Your passage was broad and said pigeons. You said squab was a baby pigeon.
But you
pigeon.
Sure that I wasn't arguing against people using it like baby birds in general like that?
I'm sure. Next episode you're on, we'll play up the audio again if you need to revisit
this. Well, you're picking
this.
A pretty old scab there, buddy.
Listen, we're all
It's like
about...
we're talking about shit from years ago, so I can't really even remember. I can't really remember. It'd be like me fighting with my wife. Well, that one time, you know what I mean?
The difference is we have audio of this. We'll come back with audio next episode. This isn't the last time we'll talk about squabs. Phil, play the drop.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that? just tend to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Oh, can I tell you something real quick?
Yeah.
My daughter got recognized at the ski at the sledding hill.
Whoa.
By the Game On Suckers.
What?
Really?
It's a trivia super fan.
How'd this go?
Someone said to her, "Are you the Game On girl?"
Wow.
"I recognize your voice."
Did she like that, or was it like a little bit frightening?
I didn't get a sense. It definitely wasn't frightening to her. It was kind of matter of fact telling.
Question one. The topic is fishing, and as always, this will be multiple choice. This first great question comes to us via Corey Betancourt. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Which of these world record fish is biggest? Is it blue catfish, lake sturgeon, common carp, or alligator gar? This is measured by weight. Which of these world record fish is biggest? Your four choices are blue catfish, lake sturgeon, common carp, or alligator gar. Looking for the biggest of the four: blue catfish, lake sturgeon, common carp, alligator gar. Does everybody have an answer?
No. Son of a bitch, I can tell you which three it is.
Steve, have you caught a blue catfish?
Mm-hmm.
Have you caught a lake sturgeon?
Mm-hmm.
That was a no?
No.
Common carp.
My pens. Mm-hmm.
Alligator gar?
I always get a bad pen.
Okay, so two out of four you have personal experience with.
Not record holders.
All right. Does everybody have an answer, Brody?
I do. I think I got it
right. I'm about to.
What do you got there, Brody?
You're about to see.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying alligator gar. John saying lake sturgeon. Chester saying alligator gar. Brody saying alligator gar. Corinne saying blue cat. Seth saying blue cat. Cal saying alligator gar.
Can I tell you who doesn't have it?
Mm-hmm.
Seth and Corinne.
The correct answer is alligator gar. The world record common carp is 75 pounds. The world record blue cat is 143 pounds.
What'd you have, Chester?
Alligator gar.
So he just passed up Seth even badder.
The world record lake sturgeon is 168 pounds.
You start
pounds.
Over, I was talking. I do want to hear this.
Here they are. Common carp, the world record is 75 pounds. Blue catfish is 143 pounds. Lake sturgeon is 168 pounds. And the world record alligator gar is 279 pounds. It was caught out of the Rio Grande in Texas in 1951. So over 100 pounds heavier than the world record lake sturgeon.
I would have guessed all those except the blue cat. I would have guessed to be bigger.
Well, definitely lake sturgeon. I thought lake sturgeon would be a lot closer to alligator gar.
That'd be a good little genre for you for tiebreakers.
Mm-hmm.
Would be, what is the, right?
We've done it. We did the world record crappie, which came from Tennessee. We've done the world record turkey, which the NWTF keeps track of. So we've addressed it before. Question two.
Yeah, I knew that.
The topic is hunting. Scooby-Doo is this type of dog, which was bred to hunt wild boars. Scooby-Doo is this type of dog, which was bred
to hunt wild boars.
Brody, with an authoritative answer.
He knows it.
He knows it.
What's the biggest flathead cat?
I think it's smaller than the biggest blue. That's the one we talked about before that came out of a reservoir in Kansas.
So like 80-some pounds was sticking in my head.
Bigger than that, I believe. Find out for a second here. One more time.
Both blue cat, shocking.
Scooby-Doo is this type of dog which was bred to hunt wild boars. Brody, how confident are you?
100%.
Steve, does that make you nervous?
I wish Phil could turn off the thing for a minute. I have a question for Chester.
About the game of trivia?
No.
Okay.
It's about my hat.
Yes.
Let me see your hat.
Like the proliferation of that brand of hat.
What do you mean? The brand or the hat?
The style of hat? Like a little string on it?
It's like you don't like it.
If you were to profile somebody who wears that kind of hat.
Is it the brand or the hat?
Passed through Austin recently would be the profile.
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
Yep.
Phil, do you think you would know this answer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. One more time. Scooby-Doo is this type of dog which was bred to haunt wild boars. Seth, you got an answer? Yeah. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Basset Hound.
Damn it!
John saying Pointer. Chester without an answer. Brody saying Great Dane. Kryn saying Bloodhound. Seth saying Ridgeback. Cal saying Great Dane. We have a correct answer.
Brody.
It's Cal Great Dane.
Him. Oh, who had that?
I think Cal got
Cal
it, too.
Cal and Brody.
No, you didn't have it.
I had it.
He had it.
Let me see.
Although the name implies that they are from Denmark, the breed actually originates from Germany. They combined the height of an Irish wolfhound, speed of the greyhound, and muscle of the English mastiff to create what 19th century hunters considered to be the perfect boarhound.
Wow. Listen, I owned a Great Dane. They don't have any kind of speed, so I don't know where that's coming from.
Maybe the wild boars didn't either.
How do you know that, how do we know that that's what Scooby was?
They've confirmed it.
Uh-oh.
Question three. The topic is cooking. What is the culinary name for the meat that comes from an animal's thymus or pancreas? If you'll remember from our regular episode of Meat Eater, this is the bone that I'm throwing to our guest. What is the culinary name that comes from the meat on an animal's thymus or pancreas?
You struggling, Brody?
No, not at all.
Pretty Why quick answers.
I'm still living in your head, rent-free, man.
Rent-free.
Very quick answers from most of the room.
But you're supposed to be the waning champion.
I know, the draining champion.
That, the waning champion. That's the funniest thing.
Did I've your ever kids heard. Laugh at that joke?
I didn't tell him. I thought to myself.
Started laughing maniacally in the kitchen.
He's even thinking about it when he's making breakfast for his kids.
Right. Spencer, what's the question again?
What is the culinary name for the meat that comes from an animal's thymus or pancreas?
I was reviewing my schedule and noticed that we had trivia today, and then I immediately started wondering if Brody was going to be there.
God damn it.
And I started thinking about how it'd be funny if I said he was the waning champion.
And he was so in love with the joke that he couldn't even wait for the game of trivia to come along. Yep. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve and John saying sweetbreads, Chester saying tenderloin, Brody saying sweetbread. Kryn saying don't have an answer.
Looks like Ferrari.
And Cal saying sweetbreads.
What about Seth? What's Seth
say? Seth has offal.
Offal. No, which he spelled wrong. Like awful.
Now, Chester, why in the world? You've cut out how many tenderloins in your life?
I couldn't think of anything, so I just wrote down tenderloin.
Got it.
The correct answer is sweetbread. It's recommended that sweetbreads are soaked in cold water for about 24 hours to remove any blood. Common preparations include grilling, sautéing, poaching, broiling, and frying. Both glands have a mild mineral flavor, soft texture, and subtle sweetness. Now, man. Dr. Jonathan Reisman, what is your experience with sweetbreads?
I've actually never had them before.
What?
Really? Yeah, I know, it's sad.
That seems kind of mild on the spectrum.
Yeah, like
of
big old
organ
guy
eaten.
And all that. The big old organ parties. You never cooked those up?
No, that'll be in the future. Immune system dinner, which we haven't done yet.
That's a good idea.
Would you have any reservations about eating a sweetbread? Is there anything unsafe that someone should consider if they were going to eat that?
Absolutely not. I look forward to trying it for the first time.
Oh, they're good.
What's your experience, Steve?
Lots. I used to have a friend that, I lived next door to a guy that had a custom slaughter plant, and so he would just bring him over, and he was missing his thumb. I remember one of the most mesmerizing things was watching, because you had to peel, you know, you kind of got to peel the outer membrane off him, and how dexterous he'd become over the years. Even though he had no thumb, he could, like, peel the membrane by grabbing it against, like, what would be the base of your thumb, and it's hard, but he'd be able to get in there and just... peel that
was
shit
his
off.
Missing thumb related to his ownership of a slaughterhouse?
You want? I've told the story, but I'll tell it again. When he was young, used to jack up a truck and use it as a and use the axle to drive a big saw. To drive a saw blade, he lost his thumb on that, and his brother threw it into the hog pen, and the hogs ate it.
Whoa!
Mm-hmm.
Unreal.
As Doug Dern would say, that's life and death on the farm right there.
The Basque Corner in Reno has a real good sweetbread dish.
Oh.
So if you're ever going through Reno, look up the Basque Corner.
So would you have any recommendations for our guest in how he should prepare sweetbread?
I don't like them done in like real saucy concoctions. I like them pretty clean and straight up. Oh, they're good though.
Question four. The topic is foraging. This next great question comes to us via Brian Parks. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What edible mushroom goes by nicknames like the Molly Moocher, Dryland Fish, and Merkel?
What?
What?
What edible mushroom goes by nicknames like the Molly Moocher, Dryland Fish, and Merkel? Seems as though nobody in the room knew this right away. Did you have this? Okay.
What?
Our guest is quite confident. The nicknames, again, are Molly Moocher, Dryland Fish, and Merkel. And this is an edible mushroom. Very stumped. This might ruin some perfect games here.
Dryland Fish, you say?
Yeah.
He did say that, Cal.
Huh.
Brody, how you feel about this one?
Oh, I just tossed a guess out there. Mm.
When you were doing your edible plant searching in Central Park, did you guys find any mushrooms?
I think we just found the like Ganoderma.
What would be the common name for that?
I forget. It's a shelf mushroom on a tree that has like a very red, dark red, shiny surface.
Like a red banded polypore, something like that.
I think it's some kind of polypore. Okay.
Again, the nicknames are Molly Moocher, Dryland Fish, and Merkel. Does everybody have an answer?
Son of a bitch! No. Oh, this pissed me off.
Good?
No, I'm not good, but I'm done.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying coral. John saying morel. Chester saying lion's mane. Brody saying oyster. Corinne saying oyster. Seth saying lion's mane. And Cal saying shaggy mane. We have a correct answer in the room. It's morel.
What?
Most of these nicknames come from foragers in the South.
Each one kept getting progressively higher pitched.
Most of these nicknames come from foragers in the South and date back to the Civil War. The nickname Molly Moocher is most likely a combination of what women on the battlefield were called, which was Molly, and the phrase that means to wander slowly, which is mooching. Does that ring any bells now that you've heard it?
Buy that.
Hundreds of pounds. I've picked hundreds of
pounds. Yeah, but where's the Dryland Fish and the Merkel?
Someone right now, type in
Dryland Fish Mushroom.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see.
I would imagine it's because none of us grew up below the Mason-Dixon line.
All right, let's just find out.
Okay, what are you typing in? Tell us specifically.
Type in Dryland Fish Mushroom.
Okay.
Don't you think Spencer already did that?
He's been caught being wrong before.
I have. You got to keep me honest. What are you learning, Steve? Suspiciously quiet.
Tried typing in.
Steve made a grunt and put his phone down. Question five. The topic is conservation. Conservationist John Chapman was better known by what name? Quick answers from, I believe, Seth and Steve.
Did Brody write quick?
No.
Nah.
Very quick answer from Steve and nobody else. Conservationist John Chapman was better known by what name? Steve, where's your confidence at on this?
Extraordinarily high. Okay.
Brody is still thinking.
It's going to tie me and Brody up.
This is question five. We'll get a scoreboard update from Phil the Engineer after this. John Chapman. Does everybody have an answer?
Yeah, buddy.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Johnny Appleseed. John saying Johnny Appleseed. Chester saying
son of a bitch, Brody.
Chappie. Brody came up with the Johnny Appleseed. Corinne without an answer. Chappie. Seth saying Chappie. And Cal saying Johnny Appleseed. Now, what is going on here with the Chappie?
Yeah, are you guys doing some kind of weird cheating shit?
No, dude.
No.
Oh. Which is wrong. The correct answer is Johnny Appleseed.
I was like, it just rhymes.
If he was my friend, I'd call him Chappie.
Johnny Chappie.
Brody, how did you not know it, but then know it all of a sudden?
I have very powerful, I can reason very well.
Like did you see it in the reflection?
No, I can just like...
off the Super Cub?
The real-life Johnny Appleseed was a homestead flipper in the late 1700s and early 1800s. He would claim free plots of land in the Midwest, plant 70 fruit trees on each property, and then sell the acreages to tardy frontiersmen. Chapman's apples tasted terrible, but they made for great hard cider. For more on the real Johnny Appleseed, go to themeateater.com and read my article called The Boozy History of Johnny Appleseed. Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Will do. With 0 points, are Corinne Schneider and Seth Morris. With 1 point, we got Chester holding his lead above Seth.
Good work, Chet.
3 points apiece. We've got Steven Ranella and our guest, Jonathan Reisman.
Ooh.
And in first place, tied up, are Brody Henderson and Ryan Callahan with 4 points apiece.
Ooh.
How far back are you? Two?
Yeah, I'm back ways.
Oh.
No,
dry land
one back.
Fish.
One back.
They call it.
I want to tell you about an American-made success story and Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. Black Buffalo is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly, but keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, and wintergreen, all proudly made right here in the USA. Tell them, Chili.
The reason I like Black Buffalo pouches is, one, they're very discreet. And what I mean by that is I can throw one in and almost forget it's there. And I prefer the mint pouches.
So if you're 21 or older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online. They ship directly to most states, or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative, bold flavor, full pouches. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? And you probably got rain gear, but you shouldn't overlook sunny day gear. Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie has you covered on the sunniest day. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head on over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all of their performance fishing gear. Hey man, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if you've learned anything, it's that there is always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, well, what's the catch? But it turns out there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/meateater.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Question 6. The topic is biology. What biological term describes the process of a tadpole becoming a frog or caterpillar becoming a butterfly? What biological term describes the process of a tadpole becoming a frog or caterpillar becoming a butterfly?
Brody got it right. I could tell.
Okay. We have a suspiciously slow answer coming from the guest who has doctor in their name. Do you think you know this one?
Not confident.
Chester's okay. Just tied up in knots here.
I know I have heard this in my day. I just cannot.
Looking for the biological term that describes the process of a tadpole becoming a frog or caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Seth, you got this one?
No.
Okay.
I feel like the guy from Winnebago Man, he's like, my mind is a piece of shit today.
It's that mercury poison.
Oh, yeah, you can always blame that, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying metamorphosis. John saying pupation. Chester saying molting. Brody saying metamorphosis. Corinne saying metamorphosis. Seth saying, tell me what that says, Seth.
Morphation. I think you should give it to him.
Cal saying metamorphosis. The correct answer is metamorphosis.
It was close.
Morphation?
Both frogs and butterflies
sounds
have
technical.
A four
that's,
stage.
That's south of the Mason-Dixon line is how they do it.
So is he getting it or not, old Seth?
Morphation.
I don't think
you don't need to
answer.
Give it to me. I'm not a charity case.
Both frogs and butterflies have a four-stage metamorphosis. A frog's is egg, tadpole, froglet, and frog. A butterfly's is egg, caterpillar, chrysalis, and butterfly. Other animals that experience metamorphosis include scorpions, salamanders, lobsters, prawns, starfish, sea cucumbers, and jellyfish. Question 7. The topic is gear. This business, which claims to be America's biggest RV dealer, is known for the obscenely large American flags flown on their lots.
That's the question?
That's the question to which nobody has provided
that's
an answer.
That's inspiring.
This business, which claims to be America's biggest RV dealer, is known for the obscenely large American flags flown on their lots.
Can't remember the place I bought my camper at.
Have a big flag?
They had a little tiny flag.
So you're looking for the name of
looking for the name of the business.
That sells the RVs.
That sells the RVs. This business, which claims to be America's biggest RV dealer.
I might have just had a creeper, dude. I might like, like, I might have just had like an extrasensory deal come into my brain and give me the answer.
Okay. Like unrelated God. To the homunculus.
Like, no, not the homunculus, okay. Man. It was like something from outside.
Divine intervention is
yeah,
this what you're implying.
Yeah.
Wow.
Almost something like that just happened.
We witnessed
to me.
It here today.
Like a like an angel.
I believer. Think. Again, looking for the business that is America's biggest RV dealer, which is known for the obscenely large American flags flown on their lots. Can anybody picture this
yeah.
place?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
I sat there wondering how big, just how big is that flag?
I can give you an answer after this. Does everybody have an answer for this question?
I always thought just how much wind it took to get that thing moving.
Yeah, I don't know if the ratio would be the same.
Yeah, it's all drones now anyway.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying RV World. John saying Winnebago. Chester saying Megaland RV and boat sales.
That's what I'd call it.
Brody saying Lazy Days. Corinne saying Best American RV. Seth saying RV World. And Cal saying RV America. He crossed out RV USA and Camping World. The correct answer is Camping World.
Oh!
Nobody got it right. A few people
and it was
were
one of those.
On the right track.
It
though.
Was one of those.
It was the first answer that Cal wrote down, which he crossed out.
Oh, that would have given Cal a very decisive lead.
They, yeah, they're a big deal. They're building one in Billings right now.
Yeah.
They also have their own lobbyists.
You know what I read the other day, though? RV sales are slowing down, which
COVID
they say is
really
a sign
up.
Of... recession.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Supposedly,
you don't need to look far to find a sign of a recession.
Camping World, like a big player in like national park reforms, trying to get internet at campsites, like buff up the amenities and things like that, because that in turn leads to more RV sales or rentals or something.
Man, they're not going to like my idea to turn Yellowstone into a wilderness area.
Camping World dealerships Camping World dealerships fly a 40-foot by 80-foot American flag on their lot. which is 3,200 square feet of red, white, and blue.
Well,
the Statesville, North Carolina location was sued by the city in 2018 for violating a code that said flags could be no bigger than 25 feet by 40 feet. During the dispute, the company's CEO said he would rather go to jail than take down the flag. Camping World paid $15,000 in fines, but eventually got the city to change the ordinance and allow them to keep the flag.
Love it.
At Camping World, these colors don't run.
Yep.
3,200 square feet.
We'd make a law how big your flag is.
Question 8.
Next would be like, how your heart's too big.
too patriotic.
Much too much heart.
Yeah. Too much patriotism.
Question 8, the topic is cooking. This is our OnX listener question of the week, which was won by Michael Whitlinger. For sending this great question, Michael is going to get a one-year premium subscription to OnX. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, then send it to trivia@themeateater.com.
This is the hardest round. This is the hardest round we've ever had.
We have three questions.
What was
left.
The Shelby index?
Four.
So our winner should get about 8.
She was having a hot night.
This powder, which is sometimes called pink curing salt, is named after the capital city of the Czech Republic. Very quick answer from Brody, Cal, Steve. Again, the question is, this powder, which is sometimes called pink curing salt, is named after the capital city of the Czech Republic. John, how do you feel about this?
A little
one?
Too much information on your part, dude. Like, what
like
the hell?
Way over that's why it's kind of like.
Yeah, why'd you give so much detail?
So you have the specific name.
Well, I got everybody getting it right.
Chester, you got this one right?
Nope.
Okay. No, me neither.
You don't insult Seth and Chester anymore?
You could have been like...
Just saying, you're laying it all out.
Capital of a European city, yeah, or like...
Listen, I like to...
This conjunction is spelled A-N-D.
I like
Which
to,
conjunction what is it?
Cal is trying to word something to Chester.
He's on the right path. Yeah. Come on.
I like to create a game that non-endemic folks listening to this can still enjoy and play along. It's like the Scooby-Doo question. Like, you may not know
what the answer is. It's great, dude, but
you
gave too much info out. Okay. I would have cut the end
off. You're assuming the audience is, like, what are you trying to say about them?
What I'm telling you is I've got a lot of feedback from folks that have significant others who also listen that enjoy the show, even though they're not core to hunting, fishing,
yeah, but these kind of questions just aren't game changers.
Spencer, his, like, lot of feedback kind of stuff.
His wife? Sort of
like, no. It'll be like, you know, like I don't want to do the Family Feud thing anymore, you know? So I started sending him letters about how bad the Family Feud episodes are. And he's like, well, I've gotten a lot of feedback that says otherwise.
We can
and I was like,
quantitate
send me some.
This.
And he sends me one that was before the show.
Does everybody have an answer?
You know, all this talk makes it hard to think.
Seth, we're running out of time.
Ah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We've got Steve saying Prague, John saying Prague, Chester without an answer.
Oh, no shit.
Prague? Brody and Corinne saying Prague, Seth without an answer. Cal, what does that say?
Saltpeter.
You thought the capital of the Czech Republic is Saltpeter?
No,
maybe Peter.
So we had 4 people get it right and 3 people get it wrong. How do you feel about the question now?
You gave too much information.
Obviously not if 4 people got it right and 3 people got it wrong. The correct answer
look at
is Prague. Other names for this substance include Instacure and curing powder. It was invented by a European butcher at the beginning of World War I. If you want to learn how to use Prague powder at home, then read Anna Borgman's Wild and Whole article called Everything You Need to Know About Curing Meat on themeateater.com.
You know, you got pink salt 1 and pink salt 2.
Mm-hmm.
One's more nitrates and one's more nitrites.
Mm-hmm.
And like for slow curing versus sausage making. Mm-hmm. All that. Is that all
and
in that article?
Instacure. What? That's
Instacure,
in there.
Yeah.
Instacure is the same thing. There's Instacure 1 and Instacure 2.
Oh, okay.
It's all in the article from Anna Borgman.
Like if you're making brassola, you'd use 1.
Right.
If you're making something like, hot dogs, you'd use 2.
Do they both give it that red color? Like, you know, when you, like, cure a ham, the meat gets that.
My guess is yes, but I can't say for sure.
That question was so good. It was our OnX listener question of the week. Phil, we have 2 questions left. give us a scoreboard update.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to Seth, Corinne, and Chester, who do not have a chance to come back. But John has 4 points and is still in the game. We got Steve and Cal tied up with 5 points, and Brody is in first place with 6 points.
Son of a buck. Question 9. The topic is hunting. This is a visual question. If you want to see what the room is seeing, then go to Instagram and check out at Spencer Newharth. I'll make it my most recent post. This photo from 1940 shows a celebrity who was an avid outdoorsman. You need to tell me who that celebrity is.
What was the year?
1940.
Why are their faces all blurred out?
So you knew which person I was referring to.
Tell me again what the question is.
Celebrities.
This photo from 1940 shows a celebrity who was an avid outdoorsman.
I might know that one.
You need to tell me who that celebrity is.
What do you think, Brody?
Oh, easy.
What? Chester, do you know this one?
No.
John, do you know this one?
I agree with easy.
Okay.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Steve.
A little rub there.
But I could end up looking real bad, you know.
Again, looking for who the person in that photo is. It's a celebrity, and the picture was taken in 1940. Cal barely had to look at it.
Like he knew it.
Oh, yeah.
He knew it. Have you seen the photo before, Cal?
No. Okay. Well, I didn't look at the photo. I just looked at the person's face.
Does everybody have an answer?
Gosh, this game can be frustrating sometimes.
Dude, this is the worst. I hate this.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Mickey Mantle. John saying Babe Ruth. Chester saying
that's what
John
I meant.
Wayne.
How did you
get to Mickey
Brody
Mantle?
Saying
that's what
Babe
I meant.
Ruth.
I meant Babe Ruth.
Corinne saying Babe Ruth.
You're
Seth without an
for
answer.
Babe Ruth.
Cal saying Babe Ruth. George Herman Ruth, which I think was his real name. Good
nice.
On you.
Good job, Cal.
The correct answer was Babe Ruth.
Yeah, but do you accept Mickey Mantle?
Because
like,
no, like,
I knew
accept just
that
a different Yankee.
Can I see this again?
Ruth.
But you know that I knew.
Thank you.
Even Ruth, you didn't know that you knew.
Ruth reportedly loved to hunt and fish during the off season.
Trip,
this particular photo shows him after a successful hunting trip in New Brunswick, where his party killed moose, black bear, whitetail, and turkey. Other pictures of Ruth's hunts show him with gators, geese, pheasants, snapping turtles, and more. And this photo is super impressive. They have some monster critters on there.
Yeah, the moose is spectacular, and there's definitely at least one real nice whitetail in there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you somehow plucked baseball out of this.
Well, I know, because I just, listen, that's why I should have it. I should be allowed to get it, because that's what I meant.
Oh, yeah. I'd give it to him.
We should consult Polar Bear Pete and see what he would say if you...
Is it Polar Bear Pete?
Polar Pete. What's
Polar Bear Pete.
Yeah.
We have one question left, Phil. Who is left in the game?
Well, with 6 points, got Ryan Callahan. And in first place, the waning champion, 7 points. Unfortunately, Steve, the reigning champion, is no longer in contention.
The silent killer. Question 10. The topic is fishing. This last great question comes to us via William Reike. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. The Buffalo National River, which became America's first national river in 1972, is located in what southern state? The Buffalo National River, which became America's first national river in 1972, is located in what southern state? Quick answer from Brody.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Quick to writing, not quick to answering.
It's a southern state, south of the Mason-Dixon.
Southern state. Steve, you going to play along on question 10?
No, I know it, but I'm not even writing down.
Oh, you know what? Well, you're not going to get credit then when the stat keeping. No. Is that how defiant you are?
Well, I don't actually know it.
Again, the Buffalo National River, which became America's first national river in 1972, is located in what southern state? Brody, how you feel about your answer?
I think a 50-50.
And just to reiterate, Phil, only Cal and Brody are left, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Does everybody have an answer?
Yeah.
Looking for the state. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying,
I was like,
Florida.
For whatever reason, I feel like it's Arkansas, so I hope you're right.
John saying Oklahoma. Chester saying Missouri. Brody saying Arkansas. Corinne saying Tennessee. Seth saying Tennessee and Cal saying Florida. We have a correct answer in the room. It's Arkansas making Brody winner
so
with
give us,
8 correct answers.
Holy.
Aside from that designation, what was what's the significance
but you know what?
Of the buffalo?
He told me he just started taking geriatric vitamins.
That's right.
Yep. The shit kicked in.
Yep.
I want to continue the learning part of this.
Okay. Today, there are 226 water bodies that make up the National Wild and Scenic River System. These rivers are managed by a number of different state and federal agencies, including the U.S. Forest Service, National Park Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, BLM, and Army Corps of Engineers. Cal, I don't know the specifics of the protection. It just grants them more protections on a state and federal level.
Here's something real embarrassing. When I was working in Arkansas earlier this year, mm-hmm. I was there twice in 2 weeks. I met some DNR officers, or sorry, state parks officers, at the Buffalo River to go fishing one day.
And then blew it.
And did you go fishing?
But I was like, why is Buffalo? Why do I know Buffalo River? Yeah.
Did you go fishing?
We ended up bailing on the... on the river because it was so low, and we went on our bitchin' bass boat instead.
Were you looking for smallmouth there or trout?
Smallmouth, yeah.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
What's that geriatric vitamin you're taking?
Some like 50
it's
plus
called ketamine.
Multivitamin. Why you need some? I'll sell you some.
Oh yeah, dude, because that shit's kicking ass, man.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna start taking that.
Special K.
If you start taking it now, imagine how smart you'll be when you're 50.
Yeah.
Brody wins with 8 correct answers, holding true to the Shelby Index. What happens next is he gets to choose where the $500 donation goes. So what's it going to be, Brody?
I promised a buddy back east who's a grouse hunter that I would donate to the Rough Grouse Society.
What do you like about them besides your
buddy
being an
advocate?
Well,
those rough grouse are hurting in a lot of eastern states.
Yeah.
So they just need all the help they can get. Ronnie Baim will like that one too, Steve.
Yep. I'm updating you on the score chart here.
Well done, Brody. Nice. An authoritative victory. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. Hey, if you follow wildlife news at all, you're probably aware that the island of Maui has an incredible abundance of axis deer, so much so that they're causing ecological damage. Well, Maui Nui venison is thinning out some of those axis deer herds and delivering venison sticks and fresh cuts to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNuiVenison.com. Use promo code MeatEater for 20% off your order.